Will you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 17 through 20. And 17 through 20, we read this. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter tells his congregation, but he tells us that we are to conduct yourselves throughout your time here in fear. And the reason that we are, that fear is to be, is a carefulness. Because you realize of how precious this salvation is and what it cost. And he said, it's like if you were carrying a precious commodity, that you would want to hold that and be careful. You wouldn't be careless with that. You'd be protective of it because it's been purchased with such, well, at a tremendous cost. And we see his great love. At home, we've been reading through the Word of God in the New Living Translation. Now, interesting enough, I was up here Memorial Day. I brought my New Living Translation in the dining room. I got booed, practically. That's not right.
I got one, too.
Thank you, brother.
Too,
thank you. We're together. Good. I'm not alone. You were the one booing me, though.
I didn't
hiss
back.
Somebody. You ever say, look like you, Brother Steve. Well, let me read from that. Listen to how I like the way it's put. And remember that the Heavenly Father, to whom you pray, has no favorites when he judges. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Let me ask you, and I hope it's true, have you experienced in your life with Christ how great a cost he paid for you? I was a young person at the altar. I'm thankful that it happened early in my life. Tears, a puddle at the altar, because the realization of the cost of my salvation came to me. You know, it's sort of a shortcut to holiness when you realize the price somebody paid for you and how much they loved you. And I thank God for that time. I thank God for the revelation the Holy Spirit gave me of the price God paid for this great salvation of ours. It's easy for me to praise and worship now. The more I understand it, the more I fully understand and comprehend the cross, that he paid that price for me, the more I'm pulled in and drawn into this great salvation. We need that in a wonderful way. I had a teen class when I worked down in Kingsburg, and a good group of those teens were from the foster care system. And they would send them to get them out of the house on a Sunday morning. And they kind of liked coming. We had a good time in that teen class. And two brothers, Bob and Rich, befriended me. And I would take them places and we would have a good time. And they were taking a karate course. And they said to me one time, you know, we're having a graduation thing that they have. And they would be honored if I would come to it. And I said, well, of course I'll go. I dressed up, you know, and I went because it was a graduation. I got there. I had to sit on the floor, You know, and then they're all sitting there with they had their nice white things. You all sit sort of. Then this guy walks out, and all they'll go, "Sensei! This is all new to me. I'd never been to this." The next thing you know, I had a good sweater on and dress pants, and they're grabbing me by the neck and tossing me around the place. That's the whole evening. Bob and Rich just taking turns tossing, Keith around. It was quite an evening. Well, we had some laughs. Broke some boards. I'd demonstrate tonight if I had some. They enjoyed my being there, and I enjoyed being with them. But I'll never forget this. Rich, he said to me, he said, this is, Rich was older, he was in his teens, I think he was 15, 16. He said he had an experience where, when I met him again when he was 18 and living in, I guess it's a group home now with other adults, teenagers, out of the foster system and in this group home thing. And I met him again because he had left for a while, the church. And he told me, he said, you know what happened to me? He said, I needed a ride and I called a cab. And I got in that cab and it was my father driving the cab who I hadn't seen for years. And he said, I said, Dad. And he said, yeah, I know it's you, Bob. How you doing? And he said, you want to know how I'm doing? How do you think I'm doing? And he began to, this was kind of emotional. Bob began to cry as he told me. He said, Brother Keith, I got out of that cab and my father charged me for the fare. And then he said something to me, which really, for a simple fellow, was really quite profound. He said to me this. He said, if you measure a man by how much he's loved, then I'm not worth much. That's something for an 18-year-old guy to say. If you measure a man by how much he's loved, then I'm not loved much. You know, I was so glad I could share the love of Christ with him. You know, folks, what I wanted to get tonight is we've got something so wonderful that we take for granted. My children do. That they're raised and they're taught the almighty love of God from an early age. That no matter what happens in your life, there's a steadfast love that upholds us and keeps us emotionally, psychologically, and yes, even wisdom physically. And this fella didn't have it. And he had an empty and he had a void in his life. And I'm so thankful that I had something I could reach within and say, you know what? Here's a powerful love I know about. Been through a few things myself. Not quite like the hurt that he had. But I could say, here's somebody who can love you consistently. That's what I want to celebrate tonight. This great love of Christ. This is what Psalm, and many of us know Psalm 8, 4 through 5 says. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And if you think about it, what is man that God is so mindful of us? And that time that I was at the altar and the Holy Spirit showed me the great price that was paid for my salvation, that's exactly what went through my heart and mind. How is it you're so mindful of me, God? No, you gave that testimony, Chris, right?
Corey.
Corey, I always change places sometimes so I can get it right. But that's how mindful that little incident there is, how mindful God is of us. Right? I went to Autumn Blaze. Some of you maybe from New Jersey know about Autumn Blaze. It used to be that the Zarephath and church there would have a nice big field, and they would build this huge bonfire and get about, when I went, there were like maybe three, oh boy, no, maybe five, six, seven, no, it was actually, when that one time...
like 1,000 young people or so in this field, if you can picture that, a big, huge bonfire blazing, a big, nice stage with Christian rock groups up there playing away. I talked to a trustee. I said, let's take some young people to this event and see what it's like. So we get there, and there they are up to, you know, the bands are playing. In the center over by the stage is a Christian mosh pit. What's so funny? There are such things. Do you know what a mosh pit is? A mosh pit, you've got to experience it. Because I stumbled into it that night with one of our trustees. Now you're thinking either he quit being a trustee, or, well, because honestly, the band's playing away, and we get near the stage there, and here's these kids just throwing themselves into each other for the glory of the Lord. I never had seen that like that. I mean, just bumping, banging into each other, and Jim Cranker says to me, Pastor, you made a big mistake. He says, you've made a big mistake bringing them here. And I was thinking so too. But then a man, how many, maybe some of you have heard of Ron Hutchcraft? Ron Hutchcraft? So it's time for the speaker, and I'm thinking, ho, 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 big bonfire. They gave them little plastics with the radio station on it, which the kids are throwing in the fire. They, you know, they've all got bumps on their heads from banging at each other in this mosh pit. I'm thinking, oh yeah, okay, here comes time for the speaker. How's he going to make out, right? It gets quiet. They call them over. It's time. They got all these kids in this field, and they get quiet. And I'm like, what's going on here? And he came out, and he had a paper plate, and he said that he took out of his wife's china cabinet, you know, some valuable china. And he held that up, and that crowd was quiet, and he said, you know, Satan wants you to think you're as worthless as this paper plate that I had lunch on today. And he rolled that up and he threw it down on the floor. And he said, but God, this was so simple, but I'm telling you, they were mesmerized by what he said. He said, but this is what you are. This is what God intended you to be. Fine china. Something to last. He went on. You know what we saw that night? That night after the altar call, they had a church, they had a small school building over to the side of the field, and I can't tell you how many young people, all kinds of young people, some of them, the one fellow, I told this story before, one of them had this like spiked haircut thing, you know, I was judging him prior, I really was, like, oh boy, woohoo, we go into the school, and here are counselors with these young people, these teens, these mosh pit maniacs, you know? And this fellow, and I'm not making this up, this fellow with the spiked, and he had nice fluorescent colors on top of the peaks. But he's crying on the floor as he's receiving the gospel. Amen. Receiving the love of Christ. All of those weirdos. They were. And you know what my trustee says? We're doing this next year. We're going here next year, he says. You know? He's the first one I'm going to push into the mosh pit, right? But you know what? The love of God got a hold of them. And that man, Ron Hutchcraft, he was gifted in the fact that he could communicate to that crowd that God loves them and that they're of worth. And that sin tears down, but there's a help and a hope, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen again. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold and silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless and spotless Lamb of God. A little earlier, if you look in this chapter, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, you know what he says? In verse 10, He says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Peter's saying, these prophets in the Old Testament got excited because the Holy Spirit came on them, showed them of the sufferings and the glories that Christ... And they were saying, when is this going to happen? You know, Isaiah, when you read Isaiah, oh my goodness, Isaiah, the Spirit of God comes on Isaiah, and Isaiah's like, he wants it in his time, but it's far off. And so Peter says, they got all excited, but listen what happens. It says, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And I love this. Things which angels desire to look into. And the first time I read that, the Lord just gave me a mental picture of angels wanting to look into this salvation of ours. Think about that. And I pictured myself in heaven and an angel coming up to me and saying, can I talk with you? Can we sit down for a while? And I would say, you know, I don't know if I have the time. But sitting down with an angel, and I think this is what, I believe this is a safe thing to think about. The angel saying, you've got to tell me what it's like to be loved so much. What is it like for our Creator, God, to send His Son to die for you and to love you that much, to pay that much of a price? You see, because He didn't do that for my brothers. Because we read in Peter, we read this, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but He cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. But the angel would probably poke me in the chest and say, but you, He paid for. You, He suffered for. You, He plotted for years and prophesied till His Son could be incarnated and put on flesh and live a perfect life, lay that life down and suffer on a cross for you. What's that like? You know, I trust God I'll be able to explain it. That I'll know the love of God so well this side of heaven that I won't be stammering and stuttering and saying, I don't know. It's kind of like, I pray to God I come into such an experience through the Holy Spirit, I'll be able to say that. Because I think there's a lot of Christians who are going to get up there and the angels are going to say, no sense talking with you. You just scratched the surface. I'm going to find somebody who went deep. Because they, according to the Word of God, they're inquiring, how could God love you so much? And you know what gets me? Changed my life. You know what gets me? How many times I sat in a meeting when the Holy Spirit was pouring out the love of God and my indifference shut Him out. I was too tired for you tonight, Lord. How many times in my devotions I had devotions? How many times, you know, the Word of God was the Word of God and didn't enrich my life? You know, this is the dot. Eternity is the line. The Holy Spirit wasn't sent for us while we're in heaven. The Holy Spirit's for us here to do His work in us, to shed His love abroad in our hearts. I'm telling you something. I want to give God every opportunity to reveal His love to me. I don't want to fall into this idea that I'll understand it all when I get to heaven. And we will. But our job is to seek these things out and see and to find His great love this side of glory. Absolutely. I want to close out. Again, I say that to give you hope. So don't get discouraged. I want to give you three things tonight. The Lord showed me what a purchased person has. Because that's what we are. We are purchased people. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me. I'm a purchased person. Go ahead. I'm a purchased person. And you are. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, that's exactly what you are. You are a purchased person. It means you have worth. God saw something mighty and wonderful in you, and He bought you. How would, you know what I like to think? How would you make out if you were on a store shelf? Huh? How would you make out? What if you were a product on a store shelf? You know, I always, when I think of that illustration, I always envision myself just going, what's wrong with this? What? Come on, I'm German-Hungarian. I'm good. I'm made well. You know? Right? You can agree with the German part, Brother Franz, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, and I don't have, you know, you just wonder, like, how would you make out of, who would buy you? Who would buy that puppy in the window, right? Well, you know, God, look at, if you know Jesus Christ here tonight, if you've given your heart to Him, if you've come into that relationship with God, think about, God went after you. No man comes to the Father, right? God went after you. He loved you. He purchased you. And I think it's awesome. And here are three things. Number one, you're bought with a great price, Peter says. I'm going to read it again. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And here are, if you are bought with a great price, three things are so. One, you know your worth. You know your worth. I love that. You know why? The world can't define me. You know? I'm not subject to their definition. I don't have to achieve. I don't have to you know, come up to their, what they call success. I'm not under that pressure. If God gives me success, that's great. If I'm blessed that way, that's fine. But I don't have to meet their standards because they no longer can define me. God has defined me. He bought me with a great price. I'm precious, wonderful, and valuable to Him. Absolutely. And young people, don't ever let your friends define you. Don't ever let them limit you. Don't ever let them say, well, you know, you're this or you're that. Because if you have a contact and if you have made that connection with your Heavenly Father, nothing can diminish what God tells you in your heart. Who you are, what you're meant to be, what He's creating you to be. He'll lead you every step of the way if that's in your true heart that you realize that. The second thing is this. It's a wonderful thing when you know you're on your second chance, right? You can do things better the second time around. And think about it. We've been born again. We have a second chance to get things right. God has purchased us an opportunity to do that. And the third thing is this. When you've been rescued, then you know how to rescue. Right? When you've been pulled out, saved, you learn a little something. I was a lifeguard for 7 years. I took some extensive training. It's called not drowning. You know? And I have to tell you, I took it from the YMCA, then I took it a few times from some other course, and then I became a WSI. Learned a lot about water. And for 7 years, I stayed out of the water. And that was the best thing I ever learned. But you learn something in those courses, and they put you through, and I'll tell you this quickly, they put you through this thing where the instructor has you swim with your, I should say first, they line people up against the side of the pool, and then you swim with your back to them, and one of those people jump you. And you don't know which one. And when they hit you hard. But you have to learn to escape from that. And then once you escape from that, you got to learn to rescue them. And I'll never forget the time I was doing it. This guy hit me, and you know, you get in that water and you don't know which end's up. You know, I didn't know which end. So I'm starting. We got so tangled up with each other. I gave him the signal, you know, you tap him twice. It was crazy you tap him twice. You know, he's got his arms, legs, and everything else wrapped around me. He's not feeling me tapping him. So we're sinking. I come up for air. I got this big, deep breath of air, and I'm figuring by now the instructor's coming in to rescue me. He's nowhere in sight. The only guy in sight is the guy I'm supposed to rescue. And I asked him to help me. When you've been rescued, though, you're quite aware of danger and that other people need to be rescued. And those three things are the precious part of being bought with a great price. You know your worth. You know you're on your second chance. You've been rescued. So you know that people need to be rescued. Here's the second thing. I love this too. When you're a purchased person, then you're no man's slave. God purchased you with a high price. You're not enslaved to the world. You're not a slave to your culture. Doesn't matter what your culture demands or suggests. You're not a slave to it. You don't have to dress like they dress. You don't have to act like they act. You don't have to go where they go. You're free from that demand. The other thing is this. You're not a slave to opinions or peer pressure. You know, just because the crowd is doing it, because the herd is doing it. You know, you've been set free. You're no man's slave. You have the strength through the Holy Spirit. You can do all things through Christ Jesus to say, you know, no, I'm not doing that. Have you found that so? If you're saying, Brother Keith, you know, it doesn't mean it's not the power's not there. It means that you haven't given God the chance to fully work in you. If you open your heart greater, you know what you'll find? If you realize how purchased you are and how loved you are, no matter how many friends you have saying anything, you'll be able to say, no, I don't think so. This is what I think. And because the Holy Spirit gives you strength. You're not a slave, lastly, to your own desires anymore. You know? I had friends outside the church, and I saw what a slave they were to their own desires. You know, they just were a slave to it. And sometimes they were like, I wish I hadn't done that. And I'm thankful that when Jesus got a hold of my life, I could tell myself no. When my wife and I began to, the old-fashioned word is court, right? Date, see each other. I'm thankful that He gave us strength to say no. You know? To keep our relationship on a high plane. It's a great, wonderful thing when the Holy Ghost can help you to say no to yourself. And you're not a slave to yourself or your own desires. Our master is not a man. It's Jesus Christ. The last thing is this. You sing a new song. A purchased person sings a new song. And you know this from Revelation. And they sang a new song. And what were they saying? You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. I'm thankful for the new song that He's put in my heart. Has He put that in you? It was beautiful today because I was walking past the ladies' room and I heard a new song coming out of there. It was a beautiful new song. I never heard it before. Except for one of the radio stations, maybe. Has God given you a new song? I'm thankful that I've seen that work in the chapel where there have been those who, you know, their song was this. Life rots, stinks, I make headway. And when they found Jesus Christ, it was, life rots, but I'm fighting it. You know? Things are tough, but Jesus, you're working in me. It was a new song. What happened there? Right? Thank God for that new song. This song of salvation ought to flood our souls. Yes. Whether you're a croaker like me or you're gifted, you should sing it. And it's true. what Sister Emily mentioned about Sister Grace, it is a shortcut to testify. Why? Because in essence, you're singing that new song. You're declaring it. You're decreeing it. And that's what songs do. How about it? It's a wonderful gift we've been given, this salvation. And we should never let Satan minimize it or belittle it. It's mighty, but it's there for our use. It's there for us to say, Lord, you work in me. You work through me. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear God.
Yes,
sir. 441. Let's sing this. Closing.
Praise offering to God for this wonderful love that He's brought us into. We
We praise
Hallelujah. Brother Woody Acock, would you dismiss us in prayer this evening?
Yes, before we do, I just have that chorus on my heart here. Can we sing it? Such
sure.
Love.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
You started, brother.
Such love,
such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love us sinners such as I.
Yes, we
yes,
thank
yes,
you
yes.
that it's with a strong hand yes, that you lifted us out of the angry waves,
thank
oh
you,
God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that it's in a strong hand that you hold
Amen.
Us, oh God.
Amen.
Lord, we don't have to worry about it
yes,
being
Jesus.
Loosed, Lord, oh God, or slipping through your
yes,
fingers,
hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, but that you hold us tightly, Lord.
Thank
even
you,
when
Lord,
we
Jesus.
Don't even feel it, oh God. Sometimes we don't, Lord. Sometimes we're doubting, oh God. Forgive us when we do, Lord.
Yes.
But Lord, we know that you are holding on to
yes,
us, oh God.
Lord,
and your love is strong.
Thank
and
you,
your
Lord.
Love is great, oh God. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Yes.
And we thank you tonight for that love
yes,
that was explained
Lord.
To us
yes,
again
Lord.
About the
yes,
precious
Lord.
Blood of Christ,
praise
oh God.
You,
and Lord, we ask, help us again
yes,
to
God.
See with renewed eyes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, with
yes,
a heart
Lord,
again
Jesus,
that just revels, Lord, in that love that and that blood that
yes,
you shed
Jesus.
For us, Lord, that
thank
you had each
Lord.
One of us in mind, oh
yes,
God.
Dear Jesus.
Oh, Jesus,
praise
when you hung on that cross,
Lord.
You had us in mind,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
And it was for joy that
yes,
you did it,
Lord.
Oh, God.
We thank
oh, we
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank
Lord, that you did it because you loved us.
Yes.
And that you rejoiced
praise
over us, oh God.
Thank
and Lord,
you,
we thank
Jesus.
You tonight for that.
How
oh, God, burn it into
God.
Our hearts
Amen.
Again.
Yes.
Lord, if there's any who have doubted, Lord,
yes,
that you love them, that they're unworthy, oh God, or that there's no value, God, to their life. Lord, we pray
oh,
tonight,
God,
Lord,
sure.
let it be settled in
yes,
their heart.
Amen.
God, that
amen.
You value each
amen.
One of us, oh God.
Oh,
Lord, and you know each
yes,
one of us. You know how we
Lord,
think.
Jesus.
You know how we feel, oh God.
God.
But Lord, you're able to come and help
yes,
us
Lord.
And lift us, oh God,
yes, you
and
are.
Set us on that rock, Lord,
thank you,
that
Jesus.
Solid rock. Hallelujah.
Oh,
and you're able to put a song into our
Amen.
Heart. Oh God, a song of
yes,
deliverance. A song of praise.
Yes,
a song of worship,
Amen.
Oh God. A
thank
song
you,
of the freedom of the blood of Jesus
praise
that works
Jesus.
In our heart.
Yes.
Oh, we thank you
yes,
tonight for that, Lord. Lord, we just
thank
you that your
you,
blood
Jesus.
Not only cleanses us from all sin, but there's healing power
yes,
in your blood.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray that
yes,
over our
Lord.
Brothers that we've already
Amen.
Mentioned, for
God,
Brother Paul and Ernie, for Keith's mom,
yes,
oh God, and others
yes,
among
God,
us, Lord.
Oh God,
Lord, spirit, soul,
touch
and body,
you,
Lord,
Jesus,
that your blood would work effectively tonight.
Yes, Lord,
in each
God.
One, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. Abide in His love. Thank you, Lord.